Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim, whenever I've asked you how's life, you've always said life is winning. Thank you for dedicating your life to making sure the small business owner comes out a winner.
We sit on different sides of the aisle, and yet we have such wonderful conversations.
You're a tremendous resource to small business owners out there, and I'm proud to call you my friend. From one dinosaur to another, happy anniversary.
Celebrating the third decade of the Small Business Advocate Show. Welcome back, folks. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host. We're having a great visit with Charles Whelan, professor at Dartmouth College. You got tenure up there yet, Charles?
I don't do tenure. I'm a senior lecturer, so I'm a senior appointment. But since I write books, I write books about things that are not academic. I don't. I'm on a different track. I'm playing a different sandbox.
All right. Well, you're on the track to become president up there then, right?
God, no, that's the worst job. That may be worse than the president of the United States.
That'd be the worst job.
President of a college.
Who would want to be president of a college right now, right? Charles, you got a website?
Three non-overlapping constituencies, all of which are grumpy all the time.
Right. What's your website?
It is www.nakedeconomics.com.
All right. And then find all your other books there?
Correct.
All right. So check that out, folks. You'll get smarter when you hang out with Charles, and you'll thank me later. Okay, Charles, one of the things I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I started the week of what I consider to be the actual week when the 2008 financial crisis began, when the shadow banking system basically started the domino falling backwards and shut down the liquidity of the global marketplace. And then things just kind of cascaded from there, and 10 years ago today it was still cascading, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, and I think it's a pretty good time to look back and ask lessons. We know that we've had financial crises since before the country was founded, all around the world. So 10 years on, there should be some introspection, I think, about what caused it, and then what the appropriate reactions were, and where we are now.
I think a lot of people have talked about what caused it. I have books have been written, movies have been made. I'm more interested today, Charles, in knowing whether you think we've learned a darn thing, and what would be a trigger or two that could cause us to have the same thing happen again.
I don't think we've learned very much. One of the things we know is that regulation tends to be pro-cyclical. So what happens is when you get a financial crisis, everybody heaps too much stuff on. Either you kind of put 11 nails in the barn door to make sure the horses never get out, but they're out running down Main Street already. And then you get a little past that, things get better, memories get shorter, and you start rolling this stuff back, and you start unraveling the things that you probably should, the latch on the barn door that actually is quite helpful. I don't know enough about the guts of Dodd-Frank to know what's in there and what's not. I do know that we still have huge financial institutions that are taking a decent amount of risk, whether it's too much risk or not. I don't know. We know from 2008 that it's all way more interrelated than we thought.
Including the gatekeepers, including the trust keepers, like the rating agencies. They were complicit.
Yeah, the ratings agencies, if you look at people who got off good, the ratings, I mean, that was unconscionable that they were giving
AAA. And nobody went to jail.
So the nobody going to jail is kind of interesting, because whenever somebody brings up that point, I drill them. So my question is, are there people who violated laws that we know of that we didn't convict? So can we point to John Smith and say he did so-and-so and should go to jail?
All right, let me give you an example of what they did. So you mortgage your house, and for $100,000, you get $100,000, pay the owner and the seller, and life is good, right? Then you go over somewhere else, and you somehow figure it out a way to mortgage your house again. Same collateral, same property, same asset, but now you got two mortgages, not a second mortgage, first mortgage. And then you do that 70 times in some cases of some of those tranches. Don't tell me that's not illegal.
Well, I assume it is legal. So they're kind of, one of two things must have happened. Either people did things like that that are illegal, and I want to know who they are. So whenever somebody says
nobody would.
AIG, AIG and Lehman Brothers, they did it, for example. AIG insured those things.
Well, but did they commit fraud? So here's where I'm going with it, which is that if people did things that was fraudulent, then I agree with you, we should enforce the statute, and it's unconscionable that we didn't. If they did things that are just wrong and dangerous for the rest of us,
and the investor bought it, it's no harm, no foul, right? I see your point. You make a good point.
But if there are things where there, you know, there is harm, there is a foul, but for whatever reason it's not illegal, then we ought to go back and revisit those statutes.
In the meantime, they took the rest of us down. And it hurt my company, and it put a lot of small businesses out of business. God help us if we don't learn from this, but I'm afraid we may not have. Hey, Charles, good job today. Come back soon.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.